بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 30th of December in the year 2015 and alhamdulillah after spending a few sessions discussing or taking a glimpse into the awesome station or status of our beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and an extension his noble companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, to move on now to the next subsection, and it's entitled what constitutes beneficial knowledge. So obviously knowledge in the dictionary would mean to store up information, but what Islamically does it mean when you say you have acquired beneficial knowledge? So firstly, it goes without saying that one must be sincere in acquiring sacred knowledge. In Abu Dawud 4-71, Ibn Majah 1-92-3, Ahmad 2-338, Hakim in his Mustadrak 1-85, Sahih, Zahabi, Sahih and others. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever seeks knowledge that should be sought for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for no other reason except that he seeks some worldly gain, he will then not smell the scent of paradise on the day of resurrection. Whoever seeks knowledge that should be sought for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for no other reason except that he seeks some worldly gain will then not smell the scent of paradise on the day of resurrection. So this is one of the major sins in Islam. So look how strange. Acquiring knowledge is one of the major sins in Islam. So imagine making that statement. A person said, what are you talking about? He goes, yes, acquiring knowledge is one of the major sins in Islam. He goes, how can it be? Isn't it one of the great virtues? Yes, it is. But your intention is not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his pleasure. It's for some worldly motive. So a person says, worldly motive. And there's many other reports. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, to compete with the scholars. Because the fire awaits that person. So think about that. You're acquiring knowledge and deep down in your heart, this is your intention. I'm going to snub the scholars up. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the fire is waiting for you. Meaning that's polluted the deed to the core. Or to impress gatherings. So people will say, look, what a fine speaker this person is. The Prophet hasn't warned that person as well. So simply put, the most important part of acquiring knowledge is that you're doing it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But how again do you constitute what beneficial knowledge is? The great Abdullah ibn Mubarak, he explained, rahmatullah alayhi, Hafiz ibn Abd al-Barr rahmatullah alayh in his Jami Bayan al-Ilm 1-118. The first part of knowledge is intention. So that's the first book you have to take. If your intention is messed up, pointless going to the second base. The first part of knowledge is intention. The second is listening. Look how strange. Listening isn't the first. The second is listening. The third is understanding. The fourth is memorization. The fifth is acting upon it. And the sixth is spreading it. This beautifully elucidates upon what is beneficial knowledge. So let's look at this. So the six key cornerstones of sacred knowledge. The first is intention. You're doing it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're trying to better yourself. And you're trying to better others by sharing the knowledge, etc., etc. That has to be the first base. The second is listening. So think about that. A person goes, well, how can you go and not listen? You can. Sometimes the person's not there. He's in the gathering. His intention is pure. But maybe he's got something on his mind. He's not really listening. He's just here, there, he's there, making the numbers up. The third is understanding. So a person goes, if I'm listening, aren't I understanding? No. How many times have you listened to a CD, for instance, and the second time round you think, I didn't hear that the first time. Of course you heard it the first time, but you weren't comprehending it. You understand? The fourth is memorization. A person goes, oh, mashallah, there was a tremendous exhortation, went to a talk, the scholars gave tremendous words of wisdom. You ask that person, could you share something with me? He can't remember anything. He hasn't memorized anything. So a person either has got the memory of Imam Bukhari, he doesn't need to record it, or he needs something with which to record it. And alhamdulillah, we're living in a time now where we don't even need to write. Just press a button like we're doing now. Imagine listening to this in the car, you know, how does that work? But memorization. The fifth is acting upon it, which is obvious. And the sixth is, which people neglect, is spreading the knowledge. So think about that. This is what constitutes beneficial knowledge. Note how intention was mentioned even before listening. Abdullah ibn Mubarak also said by way of praise and also warning in Al-Adab al-Sharia, there is nothing superior to seeking knowledge for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is nothing more reprehensible to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than seeking knowledge for other than Him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look how beautiful these words are from the great Abdullah ibn Mubarak. Because the greatest thing you can do is to seek knowledge. And the most reprehensible thing to do is to seek knowledge. Imagine. So a'udhu billah, I'm not saying that we're in that category. There may be one here in this gathering who is the best. And in the same gathering, the worst. Though you're sitting here, you're listening and you're doing all, because your intentions are messed up. The first is sitting here, he is doing it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's nothing greater than that person. The other one, he's got some other motive. A'udhu billah. Think about that. And what's interesting is, some people even show this to the people around them. For example, you go to a gathering, and the sheikh's been talking, let's say, maybe 2 hours. In the good old days, they speak for 3 hours, getting a bit weaker now, so they speak for about an hour and a half. And then there's a question and answer session. And what happens? Every now and again, a person gets up, he asks a question. The sheikh has answered. And then he says, well, were you here at the beginning? Yes. So basically, what was he doing? And what it was, he had something on his mind and he wanted only to get onto the mic to get this question across to the sheikh. Think about that. He was actually in the gathering where his intention was just to question the sheikh. So again, you've got to be very careful and always, you know, question your intentions. Ibn Atta, he said, rahmatullah alayh, in Hashiya Musnad Abi Ya'la 11-261, do not be deceived by the fact that he might benefit in a way that is obvious and apparent. Because there is a narration in Sahih Muslim where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will aid this religion even through a sinful man. Then he said, and the example of the one who learns for the sake of acquiring some worldly gain or some increase in it is like the one who raises filth with a spoon made of crystal. How honorable was the utensil, but how despicable was which it carried. So let's look at this. So this is one of the commentaries of the Musnad of Abu Ya'la. Abu Ya'la, Hafiz Abu Ya'la, wrote a Musnad, rahmatullah alayh, and his commentaries on it. One of the commentaries is Hashiya Musnad Abu Ya'la. And Ibn Atta, he's commenting, rahmatullah alayh. And look what he said. What a great warning he gave. He goes, don't be deceived that you can benefit and yet be amongst the most worst people. So a person goes, how can you benefit and be amongst the worst people? He goes, look at the hadith, very famous hadith. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Allah Ta'ala will aid this religion through a sinful man. Didn't he say that? That means he's benefiting the deen, but he's not benefiting himself. Then he said, the example of this is like the one who's got a crystal spoon, priceless, you know, something very, you know, valuable. And what's he doing with the spoon? He's picking up filth. In other words, what are you doing? He goes, how honorable the utensil, but how despicable was which it carried. He goes, this is the example of the one who learns for the sake of acquiring some worldly gain or some increase in it when acquiring knowledge. A'udhu billah. Hafiz ibn al-Jawzi, he echoed rahmatullah alayh in Sayyid al-Khatir, page 144. The one who is truly poor is the one who wasted his life in pursuit of knowledge without acting upon it. He thus missed out on the pleasures of the worldly life, which the sinful experience in disobedience, and also the best of the hereafter. Thus he proceeds to the next life in a state of bankruptcy with strong evidences against him. So who's Hafiz ibn al-Jawzi? Hafiz ibn al-Jawzi, rahmatullah alayh, he was one of the humbly shuyukh. He wrote many works. He wrote Sifat al-Safwa, that's like an abridgment of Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya's great work, al-Hilya. And he wrote many works, and he was a master of the heart. One of his works is Sayyid al-Khatir, i.e. a book of exhortations. And in there he says, this is truly the most deprived person. Who? He goes, he's wasted his life acquiring knowledge. Note again, how strange the statements. He goes, he is the most deprived person. He goes, he's wasted his life doing what? Committing zina? No. Taking drugs? No. Acquiring knowledge? Because he didn't act upon it. He goes, thus what's happened? He's missed out on the pleasures of the worldly life. And the best of the afterlife. Thus he goes to the afterlife bankrupt, but with proofs against him. Because he acquired knowledge. So what is he warning? He's warning you of not just getting into that mindset of learning for the sake of learning. One of the scholars said, we become a nation of knowledge junkies. What does that mean? People just learn for the sake of learning. Somebody goes, I don't understand. How much have you learned? He goes, oh yeah. But how much have you got into your life? In fact, a person sometimes says, I've got worse. I've learned more and I've actually got, my iman's become weaker. What's going on? Because you're not taking accountability of yourself. That shows that your intention is corrupt when you're acquiring knowledge. Consider also Hammad ibn Salama's words, in Hafiz ibn Abdul Barr, in Jami Bayan al-Ilm 1-199. Whoever seeks a hadith for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used it deceptively. Whoever seeks a hadith for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used it deceptively. Think about that. After the Holy Quran, the Sunnah is the next most priceless thing. You can acquire it, and guess who you turn a fool? You turn a fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, I'm acquiring it. This is bettering me, and I'm getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is that really the intention, brother? It's just between you and your Lord. But if you're doing it for some other reason, you're being deceptive. Similarly, Suhnoon rahmatullah alayhi said, Hafiz Zahabi in his Seer 9-122, it was rare that Ibn al-Qasim rahmatullah alayhi would come to us without saying the following words. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, since even a little of this, meaning knowledge, along with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a lot. Whilst a lot of it, meaning knowledge, without fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is minute. He goes, rarely Ibn al-Qasim would say this, because he would keep on telling, he would talk about some matter, but he would mention this frequently. He goes, you got two types of people, they've got a lot of knowledge, but they've got little fear. They've got minute knowledge. And you got others who've got little knowledge, but they've got the fear of Allah, so because they've got abundant knowledge. Because he would always hammer this into us. Problem is, do people hammer this reality into us? Imagine it. Astaghfirullah. Zunnun al-Misri, rahmatullah alayh, he clarified upon three essential rectifications. Hafiz Zahabi, rahmatullah alayh, in his Seer 19-141, whoever rectifies himself internally, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him upright externally. Whoever rectifies what is between himself and his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will rectify whatever is between him and the people. And whoever rectifies the matter of his hereafter, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will rectify his worldly life. How many times do people say this? I need to sort my life out. That's another way of saying, I need to get rectified. So you can say to him, there's three essential rectifications, not one. So straight away you got his attention. He goes, what are these three? I thought there was just one, sort my life out. The first rectification is you got to rectify what's inside you. Doing things for the pleasure and purity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you do that, Allah ta'ala will make your external correct. What does that mean? It means your deeds become acceptable to Him. If the inside is rotten, the fruit is not a fruit. In fact, a person buys it, what's the first thing he does? He spits it out. Right? You rectify the inward, the external will become correct. The second rectification, you rectify yourself with your Lord, Allah Ta'ala will rectify yourself between you and the people. People always want to have good relationships with others. The reason that this fault is because you're not being sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore that shows with your interaction with others. If you are more sincere, the more people will sincerely have affection towards you. And the third is, if you rectify the matter of the akhirat, look how strange, Allah Ta'ala rectifies your world. People go, well, so many worries, so many problems, so your akhirat. Because I'm talking about my dunya. Because that's how you sort your dunya. The strangeness is, if you try to sort your dunya, you might corrupt your akhirat. Subhanallah, isn't it? And if you don't believe that to be true, then what about the sahab? Did they want dunya? Allah Ta'ala gave them the keys to the world. Here, take the treasures. No, they wanted the akhirat. People now want dunya. What did they get? Scraps. Like kutti. Here's a few scraps for the dogs in it. Consider carefully the following words of the Salaf. All of these three quotes are in Hafiz Ibn Abdul Barr Rahmatullah Ali in Jami Bayan al-Ilm 2-22-3. We used to seek knowledge for worldly reasons. Then we became drawn to the hereafter. We sought knowledge without an intention. Then the intention came afterwards. Whoever seeks knowledge for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then be prevented from it until it drives him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Three pregnant statements from the righteous predecessors, rahimahumullah. The first, look how interesting, we've all got hope. There goes, we used to first seek knowledge for worldly reasons, meaning we were destroying ourselves. But Allah ta'ala helped us. We corrected that. Because we then start correcting, it started taking us to the akhirat. So that's a good thing. So a person's learning, just correct it. Allah Ta'ala will help you, inshallah. Secondly, we sought knowledge without an intention. But then the intention came afterwards. And thirdly, we sought knowledge for other than our Lord. But Allah Ta'ala prevented this until it drove us to Him. Meaning that if you strive, Allah Ta'ala will help you. This is why in the last verse of Surah Al-Ankabut, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who strive in our paths, we shall surely guide. Allah ta'ala promises that if you strive, He will guide you. If you don't strive, you get no guidance. Hafiz Zahabi also said, rahmatullah alayh, in his Siyar 7-17, this is how it would initially be sought. And the main incentive was love of knowledge, the desire to eliminate ignorance, the desire for work. And the sign of this sincerely acquiring knowledge is that he is not a person with many claims who loves to debate and has the goal of boasting about the amount of his knowledge. Indeed, he finds fault in himself. Now this is critical. These three things, you got to be honest, you think this is a good thing? This person's love to acquire knowledge. Hafiz Zahabi said, corrupt intention. What's wrong with that? Meaning for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This love of knowledge is a polluted intention. The desire to eliminate ignorance is another polluted intention. You're doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The desire for work, it'll give me a livelihood. Some people do this, they become scholars so they can become an imam. Polluted intention. But then he said, now this is what we look for. These are the outward signs. So we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. Number one, if you're doing it sincerely, you don't make many claims. So you don't start saying, I'm a learned person. if you want to know the reality, come to me. Because you don't make those claims. If you see a person making those claims, he's not acquiring knowledge sincerely. Number two, he doesn't love to debate. In fact, he draws away from it, though he has the tools. Think about that. Did the Sahaba debate? Radiyallahu ta'ala. And if they didn't debate, didn't they know how to debate? Abdullah ibn Abbas once went to the Haram, the Kaaba Sharif, and he saw people debating. And then he says, do you think that by us remaining silent, we don't know how to do this? And then he rebuked them severely. So if you love to debate, that means you're acquiring knowledge insincerely. Think about that. That's a profound statement he's making there. Or if you're attracted to it, that's another thing as well. You notice, you know, you talk about the deen, yawning and groaning. But as soon as a debate kicks off, everybody comes alive. You know, it's like, oh, and you see it. You know, I've seen it with my own eyes. One brother, you know, next minute he's like, he's become alive. Astaghfirullah. What? Yeah. Oh. Right. Give him a sedative in it. Astaghfirullah. And the third is, he doesn't boast about his knowledge, no matter how much he acquires. Fourth, he finds fault in himself. And this isn't just a fake show. He doesn't say, oh brother, I'm the scum of the earth. And then 10 minutes later, he's blasting everybody. But then you can't be the scum of the earth. Because there's people lower than you. No, brother. I didn't mean that. So these are signs. So just to reiterate, what are the signs of acquiring knowledge sincerely? Number one, he doesn't make many claims. Number two, he doesn't love to debate. Number three, he doesn't boast about his knowledge. And number four, he's always finding fault with himself. So again, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this by his great kindness and mercy. Question, what of those who suffer from all three elements? Somebody goes to you, brother, just say those three again. You don't debate, not necessarily. I do. Astaghfirullah. What's the second one? You don't boast about your knowledge. I do. Astaghfirullah. What's the third one? You're very harsh with yourself. I'm not. Well, brother, come here, let me kiss you on forehead, innit? So imagine, he might have titles at the end of his name as well. Astaghfirullah, innit? These narratives don't just apply to the layman. You apply these to the ulama, and then you'll find out who the true ulama are. Think about that, innit? That's why it's horrific to see a scholar having a go at another scholar. You know, it just doesn't sit like, why is he having a go at this scholar for? And what makes it sometimes even worse is, he's a lesser scholar. So you start saying, Ibn Taymiyyah. Oh, who are you, mate? To talk about Ibn Taymiyyah, rahmatullah. That's number one. And even if you were, who are you still to talk about Ibn Taymiyyah? That's why Shaykh Hamza says, but to scholars, for scholars to debate is makruh. Scholars. What about guys with t-shirt and jeans? Right? And you go, well, are you going in, brother? And what happens after all that? Everybody's very hyped up. Then be honest, then how do you actually feel after that? The person goes, well, I get a bit chuckled on that. You know, I'm a bit dizzy, I feel my mouth a bit dry, and I feel lousy. Oh, why do you think that is, brother? You something to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's actually a report saying when a debate kicks off, shaitan's ringing a bell between. You know, like it's like inciting them. Imagine, isn't it? Astaghfirullah. And sometimes you see a human doing it. What are you doing with Astaghfirullah? In Ibn al-Mubarak, in his Zuhd, page 470, Ubayy ibn Hajr, rahmatullah alayhi, said, it used to be said, meaning it's rare now, how great is the iman that is adorned with knowledge? How great is knowledge that is adorned by actions? How great is actions that are adorned with gentleness? How, and nothing beautifies another like forbearance does to knowledge. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. What beautifies knowledge? What beautifies iman, sorry, knowledge? What beautifies knowledge? Actions. What beautifies actions? Gentleness. And nothing beautifies knowledge more than being forbearing. That is a trait of the one who's acquired knowledge sincerely. You notice this. They're very humble and sincere. And if you think it's hard to understand, you honestly believe there's any arrogant awliya. Imagine, he's awliya, but he's arrogant. He's never arrogant. He's the humblest. And yet he's got the most knowledge. So how does that work? Indeed, it is mentioned. Now this is an incident that took place. So think about this. The real incident. It is mentioned that a man wanted to marry a woman, but she rejected him due to poverty and social status. So basically, the woman's family, or she said, "You look at, you know, you're not high enough up the classes. You know, I'm higher than you, and you're poor." So what did the man do? He decided to acquire knowledge. He's right. This is a good way of doing it. I'll acquire knowledge. I'll go up the ranks, and then I'll marry the woman. So he did years of study. Imagine. The woman, upon hearing of this, years later, she goes, "Oh, the one, you know, the suitor that came, he's become a prolific scholar. So why don't you actually ask him now to get, you know, I'm ready to get married." So she offered her hand in marriage. What was his reply? "I do not prefer anything over knowledge. I'm sorry." Thus, by leaving that woman, who he originally sought knowledge for, he attained piety and demonstrated the truthfulness of his intention by now not marrying the woman. He says, "How can I marry you?" He goes, "If I marry you, my intention was corrupt." Allahu Akbar. So this is what goes back. What did the Salaf say? He goes, "We initially learned without intention. Intention came afterwards." That's why you shouldn't fall for the other trick of shaitan. Stop learning. Because there's too many dangers. That's another trick of shaitan. You know, boxing terms, you missed a right hook, you've defended and he's got you with the left uppercut. These are his tricks. So he said, "No, I'm going to acquire knowledge and I'm going to ask Allah Ta'ala to help me, to protect me from the pitfalls of knowledge." And the amazing thing is, this is not often mentioned. People mention the virtues of knowledge a lot. They forget to mention the pitfalls. Acting upon knowledge is a safeguard for it. Think about that. Some people say, "My mind's like a sieve. I hear things and it just comes straight out." I say, "Brother, you don't need to go on a course, but I can give you a tremendous memory." How? Act upon your knowledge. Where's the proof? Hafiz ibn Abdul Barr rahmatullah alayhi in Jami Bayan al-Ilm 2-11, Ash-Sha'bi rahmatullah alayhi, he said, "We used to rely upon acting upon a hadith to memorize them, whilst we used to rely upon fasting to search after a hadith." So two things he mentioned, this tabi'in. He was a student of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu. Imam Sha'bi rahmatullah alayhi said, "We had no problem learning hadith." He goes, "How did you do it?" He goes, we acted upon it. So when the Shaykh told us, imagine it. So the Shaykh would say, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would eat with his right hand. He goes, "We eat with our right hand, so we wouldn't forget the hadith." What do we do? Give me what's reference for that. Tabrani, mashallah, Tabrani. How authentic is it? Okay, right. And then you go, leave book at home. What's the hadith? "Oh, brother, what it is? I don't know." You haven't acted upon it. Just get it into your life. Some things are very easy to get into your life. So that's how they got. That's how they became these great giants. People say, "How did Imam Bukhari learn 2 million hadiths?" You work here, innit? Right? You know, that's why we can't, because we're not acting upon our knowledge. Then he said something even more amazing, I think. He goes, "We used to seek a hadith by fasting." So imagine, innit? "But brother, why are you fasting? Is it a special day?" He goes, "Every day is special, brother. You know, mashallah, but is there any reason for it?" And you say, "Brother, I just can't get enough of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." The guy's heart will fall off. "What are you talking about? I ask you about fasting. What's that going to do with the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?" That's the way to get it. I'll be honest. When you hear that, you think, "Well, I'll go the traditional way. I'll go on Google." Right? Allah Ta'ala, He will give you when you act upon the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do you think they used to fast all the time? You know, they went to Sayyidina Umar, he fasted all year, except the two Eids. And he was Amir al-Mu'mineen. When he died, when he was martyred, radiyallahu anhu, Hudhayfa radiyallahu anhu said, 9/10 of knowledge were buried with him. How did he get that knowledge? He used to fast all the time. Radiyallahu anhu. At first, he doesn't know what you're talking about. "Oh, I don't know what you're on. What's fasting going to do with anything?" And what's interesting, in the month of Ramadan, you're more prone to learn things because you're fasting. Very interesting. You know, you notice in the month of Ramadan, you seem to like remember things more easily. And then, Ramadan, "Oh, brother, I don't even know what time it is." Thus, note what better way to memorize any text than by simply acting upon it. In addition, it is important to note that mere memorization of texts is not knowledge. Because Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi said, knowledge is not what is memorized, but what benefits. Knowledge is not what is memorized, but what benefits. This is in Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya, with a sahih chain of transmission. Somebody walks through the door now, and you say, he's memorized Bukhari Sharif. You can simply say, with all respect to him, so what? You're not impressed by that. No, my computer's that. In fact, my phone. So then this, you know, so he's like this phone, isn't it? He memorized it, I got a phone. Then the guy gets confused, no, but he's got knowledge, but my phone's got knowledge. He's not explaining what knowledge is. Then you say, he's acting upon all the hadith in Bukhari Sharif. Oh, my phone can't do that. Knowledge is not what is memorized, is what benefits. Think about that, isn't it? Knowledge junkies, you know, time of knowledge junkies, isn't it? Just more and more, get it into your life. Note also that the glorious deed of fasting was used as a means of gaining the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who would then open up for them further avenues with which to acquire sacred knowledge. Who was the most prolific narrator of hadith? Abu Huraira. Did he starve most of his life? He said that. He goes, I'd fall down due to hunger. Days would go without me eating anything. Now why do you think he's the most prolific narrator of hadith? Oh yeah, you fasting. MashaAllah. Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullah alayhi echoed Hafiz al-Daynuri rahmatullah alayhi in his Al-Mujalisa 2-513. It was said to some wise people, why are you people those who seek knowledge the most? They replied, for we apply it more than anyone else. So somebody asked, imagine it, somebody asked the people of knowledge, those who were acting, they go, why are you so eager? We should be eager to acquire knowledge. Why are you so eager to acquire knowledge? What did he say? For we apply it more than anyone else. In other words, Allah Ta'ala opens up for us more and more. Even if we don't want it, Allah Ta'ala gives it to us. Allahu Akbar. And inshallah, we will continue from here tomorrow. So all I mentioned today was basically answering the question, what constitutes beneficial knowledge? And this is critical in understanding how important this subject is. But sadly, a lot of people either are unaware of this or they neglect it. So again, always look at your intention. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to correct your intention. And it's a dua. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa'u wa amalin la yudfa'u wa dua'in la yastajab. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I seek refuge in you from useless knowledge, from deeds which are not accepted, and from du'as which are rejected. Useless knowledge, what's this? Now we understand what we was referring to sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He will help you inshallah. And never become a knowledge junkie. Imagine it. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وأتوب إلى من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والأصل الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات ورواصوا بالحق ورواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم